What does the devil fear the most? We'll find out today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
We have power in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can go after the enemy and destroy him. See, he's got captives, he has people blinded, he has people in chains and slave to sin, and we can break those chains in Jesus' name, and we do it how? Through intercessory prayer. And we quit being on the defensive all the time, and we start taking the offensive. I want to encourage you, if you don't know how to pray like that, there's a big difference in praying like that and then just praying, now I lay me down to sleep. Huge difference. And see, when you talk about intercession in your prayer, where you stand in the gap and praying for other people, that is warfare praying. So many of us don't know much about that.
There is tremendous truth, there is blessedness, there is hope.
In the continuing battle against evil, it's easy to get in the defensive mode. But when we begin to think that way consistently, it gives the devil permission to go on the offensive, and that's where we lose ground. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for being with us today. Listen, if you're in a battle and you're always on the defensive, God has a better, foolproof battle plan for you in your spiritual fight. Today, we're continuing our look at the spiritual weapon that Satan fears the most. What would that be? Well, it is the prayers of God's people. But there are special prayers that work better than others, and we'll find out today exactly what they are. If your prayers have become a ritual for you, then you'll discover how to use this weapon again. Now, if you missed yesterday's broadcast, part one of this lesson, you can listen again online at fromhisheart.org. Click the radio tab. There, too, you can download a free MP3 of the broadcast, as well as the sermon outline from Pastor Jeff. Open your Bible now to Ephesians chapter 6, and let's begin part two of this life-changing lesson from Pastor Jeff Shreve called What the Devil Fears Most.
Paul wrote Ephesians. He's incarcerated in Rome. He writes the book of Ephesians. And in chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, he begins to speak about spiritual warfare. And then he says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Prayer is so important because prayer gives power to the armor of God. Prayer gives power to the Word of God. Prayer gives power to the shield of faith. See, if you don't have prayer and a powerful, effective prayer life, you're not going to be victorious over the enemy. Now, he says in verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With all prayer means all manner of prayer. So I want you to look at what types of prayers are needed to defeat the devil. The first type of prayer that you need in your life is thanksgiving and praise. Now, I have found in my own life, it's easy to do that when everything's going well. But how about when things aren't going so well? You're supposed to give thanks in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. What constitutes everything? The good things, the bad things, the sweet things, the sorrowful things. All things make up everything. And we're to thank God and praise God always for all things. Why is that? Because that honors God. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 in verse 30, the scripture says this, the Lord says, the one who honors me, him will I honor. If you honor God, he will honor you. And so he says, give me thanks and give me praise. It's so important to have your prayers filled with praise. You know why praise is so important? Not just because it honors God, but because of the warfare. You want to overcome the devil, you want to put into flight, you need prayers of thanksgiving and praise. Second type of prayer, you need prayers of confession. Prayers of confession. Hey, you can't live a victorious Christian life unless you're a good repenter. Why is it so important to be a good repenter? Because you as a human being are a good sinner. You're good at doing that, and so am I. We're all susceptible to sin. All of us have feet of clay. And we fall into sin, the sins of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. See, when those things come into your life, you have to be good at repenting. You have to be good at confession. And when sin comes into your life, when you fall into an area of sin, you have to immediately get it out and you have to confess it. And confession is so critical. Why? Because God's Spirit needs to be in control of you. And the blood of Jesus, this is what's so wonderful. No matter what you've done, no matter how horrible, how terrible it might have been, it's not more powerful than the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses from all sin the moment you confess your sins and get it under the blood. You and I need prayers of thanksgiving and praise. We need prayers of confession. And then we also need, type number three, prayers of petition. Prayers of petition. Look at verse 18 again. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. You know what petition basically means? It means need. Need. And see, we're to pray about our needs. God wants us to do that. Is it okay for me to pray about needs in my life? Of course. The Lord says, petition me, ask me. And when you pray to the Lord, be specific in what you want Him to do. Be specific with your needs. Hey, you don't have just general needs. You have specific needs. So be specific with God. We have a tendency to just pray the bless me prayer. Lord, bless me in my job. Lord, bless me in my work. Lord, bless me at home. Lord, bless my marriage. Lord, bless, bless, bless. And we're just kind of vague. See, bless is just kind of a vague term. That doesn't give God any specifics. So be specific with God. It's okay to say, God bless me. I mean, the prayer of Jabez, he said, Lord, bless me and bless me indeed. That's a good prayer. God answered that prayer. But be specific in your prayer. I love the story of blind Bartimaeus. And when blind Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus as he went through Jericho, he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Lord called for poor beggar blind Bartimaeus. He called for him and he said to him, what do you want me to do for you? In Mark 10:51, and the blind man said to him, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. So that was specific. This is what I want you to do for me, Lord. Be specific with the Lord. Listen, are you single and you don't want to be? You want a spouse? Pray and ask God, Lord, this is what I want. This is a need in my heart. Lord, would you meet that need? You be specific. Do you not have a job? Be specific. Lord, open a door for me to get a job in this industry, in this way. Lord, have your way and show me. Be specific with the Lord and pray big. Pray big. I love that poem. I've shared it with you before, but it's so good. You are coming to a king. Large petitions with you bring. For his grace and power are such, no one can never ask too much. God wants you to petition Him. He says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Prayers of thanksgiving and praise, prayers of confession, prayers of petition. And lastly, you need prayers of intercession. Intercession. That's when he goes on to say, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And then Paul says in verse 19, and pray on my behalf. Pray for me, please, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Pray for me. See, intercession is when you start praying for other people. T.W. Hunt, who is an authority on prayer, he said this, the biggest single aspect of American praying is the lack of intercession, the lack of praying for others. We tend to just be me, 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 me. Lord, bless me, bless mine. And that's the furthest we take the prayer. It's just all inward focus. We live in such a me society. And he said, we're not standing in the gap. We're not praying for other people. We're not praying for ministries. We're not praying for the church. We're not praying for the land of America, the land of Israel, as God tells us, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. How important is that? Look at Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. The Lord says this, and I searched for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. God is looking today. Is there anyone who will intercede? on behalf of others, who'll intercede on behalf of my church, who'll intercede on behalf of the land in America that is polluted with blood, the land that is polluted with homosexuality and abortion and all kinds of sins. And God says, is there anyone who'll stand in the gap? Is there anyone who'll intercede? And see, when you talk about intercession in your prayer, where you stand in the gap and praying for the people, that is warfare praying. That's warfare praying. This whole chapter, starting in verse 10, is about warfare. Stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle in the realm of the spirit. And you have to pray in the realm of the spirit and pray against the forces of evil and the forces of darkness. You do that when you intercede for people. That is warfare praying. So many of us don't know much about that. But let me tell you some things about intercession and warfare praying and standing in the gap that God says he's looking for people to do. See, God wants you to stand in the gap aggressively. Be aggressive as you pray. The prayer room is a war room, and you and I are to be aggressive. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, "And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." I mean, we have power in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can go after the enemy, and we can pursue him and destroy him. See, he's got captives. He has people blinded. He has people enchained and enslaved to sin, and we can break those chains in Jesus' name, and we do it how? Through prayer, through intercessory prayer, through standing in the gap and praying for people and praying with aggressiveness, and we quit being on the defensive all the time, and we start taking the offensive. Most people don't know how to do it. I want to encourage you, if you don't know how to pray like that, there's a big difference in praying like that and then just praying, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Huge difference. You come against the enemy. Listen, you gotta pray for your kids and you gotta pray for your families. You know where the devil wants to hit hardest of all? Your family. Why? Because if your home is wrecked, if your marriage is wrecked, you lose your testimony. You lose your power to stand and preach the word of God. You know when God says, hey, when you look at a pastor, you know what God says to look for? Look at his family. Look to see how he treats his wife and how he treats his kids. Because a man who does not run his household well is not fit to run the church of God and the household of God. And so the devil will come and he'll attack. And so we need to be aggressive. So many parents let their kids go to the devil because they're not praying against the evil one. They're not watching to see what kind of friends are coming into my kid's life. Bad company corrupts good morals. So we need to get on the offensive against the enemy. Pray aggressively. Stand in the gap aggressively. And stand in the gap alertly. He says, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition. Stand in the gap with alertness. That word alert means to keep awake. It means to not fall asleep. Watch and pray, Jesus said. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and we need to be alert. You have your eyes open. You have your ears open. You have your antenna up as you pray. Oh, there have been so many times where someone has come to me and has said, I need to talk to you. There's a crisis in my marriage. My spouse, normally it's a man, my wife has had enough. She wants a divorce. I say, that's terrible, brother. What led to this? Did you see this coming? It just hit me out of the blue. I never saw it coming. Well, you're asleep, buddy. I mean, you're not alert. You're obviously not praying with alertness, because a woman just doesn't do that. She gives you signs along the way that she's unhappy. I've told so many people this is so true. A woman is like a rubber band. She can take a lot. You can stretch her, but if you stretch her too much, she will break. And then all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put her back together again. Then she's done. But so many guys, they're just clueless. So many parents, clueless what's going on with their kids. Did you notice when the Columbine massacre took place that the parents of those boys who killed so many, they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know that their kids were going down that road. They didn't know they were building pipe bombs and doing all the stuff that they were doing. Why? They're asleep at the switch. Hey, being a parent is a responsibility. And so many guys are so consumed with pursuing money that they lose their families in the process. Don't do that. The Lord says you need to be alert as you stand in the gap. We need to be alert to know what's going on in our world so that we can pray for our world. You need to keep up with current events, and I need to keep up with current events so that we know, hey, we need to stand in the gap for the land. I am convinced that the Lord is coming so very soon. And I'm also puzzled by the fact that when you read in the scripture, you find no mention of the United States of America. No power coming from the West is ever talked about in scripture. I think that unless God's people stand up and stand in the gap and pray, we're going to go down the tubes. God is waiting for His people to rise up and to pray and to seek His face. The Lord desires to send revival to America, to see people getting saved from all over, but He will not do it unless there's someone to stand in the gap. He is looking to see, is there someone to stand in the gap for the land, lest I destroy it? And that's such a strong call to you and to me, to pray and to be alert and to be persistent. See, God wants you to stand in the gap aggressively, alertly, and persistently. You just keep on. He says that we're to have perseverance in our prayers. That means you stick it out. You keep it going, and you don't quit. You don't quit. We're not seeing the results sometimes when we pray for things. Keep praying. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. You keep praying. Ask, seek, and knock. When the Lord uses that in Matthew chapter 7, those are continuous verbs. Ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking, and you go to heaven's door and you knock on heaven's door and you intercede on behalf of family and friends and loved ones in the church, in the city, and the world, and you keep asking Him. And even when you don't see things happening, keep it going. Keep it going. Because God is going to answer. Don't quit in your prayers. Persevere in your prayers with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Listen, in your life, don't quit. In your marriage, don't quit. In your situation, don't quit. In your health problems, don't quit seeking the Lord. Keep praying and keep interceding. I prayed for 20 years for my brother to be saved, and he got saved. I prayed for over 20 years for my father to get saved, and he got saved. God answered. I'm so glad I didn't quit. I'm so glad I didn't throw in a towel and say nothing's happening, because the Lord answered.
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And as we've been instructed today, we need to have determination that keeps on asking, keeps on seeking, and keeps on knocking. God will answer. Don't go away. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff has an inspiring story of determination that will encourage you to be brave in fighting the devil in your life. You'll want to hear this. Maybe today's message has touched your heart and encouraged you to use that weapon of prayer in your life. We hope that prayer will bring you hope and encouragement, especially if you feel anemic when facing the spiritual battles of your life. And there are many. The devil has spread many lies that people fall for. It keeps them losing the battle against the father of lies. But Pastor Jeff wants to help you combat the lies of the devil with his timely and powerful series, Fake News, Exposing the Lies of the Devil. That series is our thank you gift for your support this month of any amount to the ongoing outreach of From His Heart. To get yours, just make your gift when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE. Or go to fromhisheart.org and request the Fake News series. Now, to conclude part two of the lesson, What the Devil Fears Most, here again is Pastor Jeff.
I read a story about a man named James. Before he was born, his father had on his heart a desire for his son, didn't even have a son yet, for a son to be a missionary. And he had a particular place on his heart. It was China. And he said to the Lord, Lord, if you ever give me a son, he said, Lord, could you make him a missionary to China? And he prayed that prayer. And then he had a son. And this man was a godly man, and his wife was a godly woman. And they had several children, but they had their son, James. And James wasn't interested in the Lord. He grew up knowing about the Lord, but it was all in his head. He didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and he knew it. And his parents knew it. And his mother was away visiting some friends. And she had some time one evening where it was just herself, and she went into a room She had such a burden for her son. She went into the room and she locked the door and she said, "Lord, I'm not leaving this room till you save James." And she prayed hour after hour after hour after hour. Finally, there wasn't anything left to pray, and God gave her such a release, and she just began to praise God for saving her son. Well, unbeknownst to her, at the same time she was praying for James, James was at home, and he was kind of bored, and he went in the library to find something to read. This is in the 1800s, so there wasn't a ton to do, and he was looking for something to do, and he found a little gospel tract. And he said, I'm kind of bored. I'll read this track. And it's always got a cool story at the beginning and then a moral at the end. So I'll just leave the moral, but I'll read the little story. And as he read that story, his mother in a different city was praying for him. And God answered her prayer. And as he read that track, the Lord convicted him. And he got down on his knees. And James, a 15-year-old kid, asked Christ to come into his life. And he was gloriously saved. When his mother came home 2 days later, he met her at the door. He said, "Mother, I have something to tell you. It is so exciting. It's so wonderful." She said, "I already know." He said, did my sister tell you? She said, "No, the Lord told me. You've been saved." And he got saved. And he had a heart for China. And he went to China. He was there for 51 years. He personally baptized 50,000 people in China. He started the China Inland Mission, J. Hudson Taylor. And it has been said of the China Inland Mission, it was the greatest evangelistic campaign since the first century under the Apostle Paul. What happened? A mom got serious about prayer. A dad got serious about prayer, got serious about standing in the gap. And God did a mighty miracle. And God wants to know today, will you get serious about prayer too?
Well, that is the question we all should make sure we seriously consider. Is God impressing something upon your heart that He wants you to do or achieve? If He is, He alone can give you the faith to accomplish it in His power, not yours. The question is, are you serious about prayer? We hope that the message today has helped you see your need for an intimate prayer life with Jesus Christ. Remember, prayer is what the devil fears most, and that's the title of today's lesson. It comes from Pastor Jeff's series, Braveheart, Becoming a Warrior for Christ. You can order this 9-message series online at fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE. Again, the series is called Braveheart. The message, prayer is what the devil fears most. Let's conclude today's broadcast with a prayer-filled Real Hope Minute. Here again is Pastor Jeff.
Have you ever wondered, what's the point of prayer? I mean, if God already knows everything, and He does, why do I need to ask Him for things He already knows I need? Listen, prayer isn't for God's benefit. It's for ours. Prayer draws us near to God as we share our heart and needs with Him. And He really does know what we need, but He only responds to our needs when we humble ourselves and seek Him. The proud person doesn't call upon His name because they think they can make it happen on their own, but the humble person seeks Him with all his heart because he knows that apart from Him, he can do nothing. I hope you'll make it a point to pray about everything so you can experience the power of God in your life. It is in prayer where we find real hope.
Well, our time is gone for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be here next time when we continue with a message this month about how to defeat the schemes of the devil, with a lesson that'll teach us what to do when the devil comes knocking. Next time, right here on From His Heart.
There is truth. There is love.
From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org. www.thetruth.org.